Herbert Thompson, 6. What happened after you had been attacked?
Well, one of the Albatross pilots had got onto my tail that Booker saw this, came in and scared him off, and naturally he stopped firing, and when the firing stopped, I pulled out of my dive and settled down and looked about me for the moment where the flight was. And while I was looking about, I suddenly realised that my my triplane better be taken home in case it collapsed. But I think that was the cause of the bad dreams and the sleepwalking, because I certainly recovered from it, and without having to go home or anything else.
Did you find that your experiences in the First World War had any influence or effect on your character or your career in the Indian Civil Service?
I certainly think it made me grow up. Because I think if you... Everybody varies in their maturity, and I really was very young for my age. And I think that I was extremely lucky. And I was, what was another help was that when I joined the Indian Civil Service, I was appointed to Madras, which is wonderful shikar, and I was sent to a collector to be trained, who was a very great big game hunter, as you might call it, and he taught me all sorts of things. One of the things he taught me, which he shouldn't have done, was, because I was too inexperienced to understand it, he said you must never sit up and wait for a tiger, you must always go and track it on foot, which means that you've only got one shot and one shot only. And I accepted it quite gaily, and fortunately for me that I never did have an encounter plumb on with the tiger that way on foot, because the first tiger I ever shot was really rather fun, because we did it another way with a beat. The tiger did everything wrong, and fortunately it didn't break back, but it came towards me after hiding itself. And I think it was really due to the fact that I'd been a pilot, that I took one shot at it and shot it straight between the eyes, head on, with no... It was the only target it presented. The only trouble was that it dropped. What to do? Because the beaters were coming on, and I didn't know if it was dead or not. But fortunately it was dead, because I couldn't see it. Stone dead. Had a hole just here. Well, fun. It's rather light-hearted, but one of the things is quite different. You know, when you shot a couple of tigers, you never want to shoot another one. They're too beautiful to shoot. I'm awfully glad that I'd be along to the days when I haven't got a camera. That's good. Every wise person takes photographs of them. You've got to shoot one first. And I rather like to shot one from the ground, but just didn't happen to play the right way.
You were up on, in a...
Oh, when this happened, I was sitting on some rocks. They're extraordinary animals. You get to know them. A panther is much more cunning than a tiger. There was one case I was out in Rajputana, another chap, we were walking on hill path. They're sitting up looking at us. It was a panther. Glorious colours, when the tiger burning bright. You've only got to see one in the jungle, and the colour is something. Well, this was looking at us, We looked at it. We both had walking sticks. I said, Geoffrey, I'm going to see what happens. And I pulled my walking stick and did that. Penth was off like a lightning. Now it must have known. Had it been shot at, but it didn't worry before, just looking at it, just like this, slopping about, like you see in the zoo, in a way. There was nothing, between us and it. But there, you do realise that they're much, much more frightened of you than you are of them, unless something happens. I walked on one once, on its kill, without knowing it was there. Withdraw very, very carefully and stealthily, facing the tiger the whole way like royalty, get by the bush as soon as possible. Oh, it's such a pity that animal ever disappeared.
Were there ever any instances in, say, civil commotion or civil problems where you felt a similar sort of loneliness to that experienced in the air?
No, I don't think when you're facing a human being, it doesn't really matter. No, you're keyed up in a way. You know that you're on. But I think one of the things that gave you the astonishing thing in India, to my mind, was the prestige of my service. They never accused, never dreamt that we would ever be dishonest or take bribes, and therefore nobody offered you one. The only bribe I was ever offered was a Kelly once in Peshawar, who fixed onto me, and after I'd driven, he came up to me when we got to my ball. He said, "My brother's in your court tomorrow. If I give you a golf ball, will you let him off?" And I said, "What is he up for?" "Murder." I discharged the man, but not for the golf ball. Nobody beyond the age of 10 would have dared to do that. Sweet, wasn't it? Really not charming. His brother had been wrongly accused. He was just a member of the family. They all roped the rest of the family. No, I think it was the fact that you just sort of carried with you this extraordinary prestige of, it's awful to say, the prestige of the white man. And yet you've got great Indian friends who knew he was completely human, perfectly ordinary. But you had this, no service was like the Indian Civil, because it was a difficult to get into. Competitive exam, which one of them get over for every hard work. And you got out. There was no, when I got in, we were known as the competition waller. It just depended on where you were in the list. And if you were down at the bottom of the list, you went to the colonial service. Even civil service had very strong views about the colonial service. And of course you were dealing with terribly highly educated people. On that one, I had a lesson in my first subdivision, which I liked. There was a great landowner. He wasn't a prince, because Madras didn't make princes, whereas other places made them much too easily. And one day he said to me, "You know, my ancestors were ruling this country when yours were running by painted blue," and he was perfectly correct. Culture was enormous, of course. And, I don't know, I wish we could have. Hitler was responsible for the real quickness of leaving, I think. We were trying so hard to create self-government, real democracy from the bottom upwards. And of course, every step you took, they wanted a further step naturally. Because, of course, you were an Indian, you wanted to rule the country. But when it came to the fact that only about there were less than 500 white Indian civilians left, no policemen, and the army was going home, there was nothing we could do, we just said, "Hand over." And as you know, the fanatics, the left wingers always flourish in things like that. The liberal element, the true liberals, didn't really. They would have liked to have gone a bit slower, but on the other hand, once you started, I think it was inevitable that you had to insist that we were going, otherwise they wouldn't take responsibility. They'd say, "Oh, you do so and so and so and so." They're all there. Responsibility is the real educator. They've become politicians, of course. Did you read the Sunday Times by any chance, the coloured supplement just today on Mrs. Gandhi?
No.